somehow stuck.
Hello, welcome. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. This is Final Draft. It is our first Final Draft for 2021. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for, for helping me greet this new year with reading. My name is Andrew Popel, and Final Draft is a chance every week to explore Australia's books, writing, and literary culture. Now, having a bit of a summer break, this is a time traditionally when we all put our feet up and read some more books, and I'm getting ready for the 2021 new releases. But that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you every week, and so I have been sharing over the last few shows some incredible books that were featured and, in fact, winners at the 2020 Prime Minister's Literary Awards. If you haven't checked them out, you can go back and listen on the 2SER website. You can hear about Tara June Winch's The Yield, which was the literary fiction prize winner. You can hear about Omar Saker's The Lost Arabs, which was the poetry prize. And today, we're going to talk about the children's literature winner. It was from Kui Mitigar, which is a song on Darug songlines. And this is an opportune moment for me to acknowledge that 2SER broadcasts from the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Now, I am recording in the area known as the Blue Mountains, and I am on the lands of the Darug and the Gundungurra people. And I want to acknowledge the traditional owners of those lands, and I want to pay my respects. I also want to acknowledge that these are stolen lands that treaty has not been reached in Australia. And I guess sometimes we can hear acknowledgements and we can make them ourselves, but it can be hard to know what to do. I don't have all the solutions. I'm not even going to pretend, but I know that one thing we can do as white Australians, if you are a white Australian listening, is to educate ourselves. And that involves reading, and that starts so young. Kui Mitigar is a great place to start, particularly if you live in the Sydney region, because Kui Mitigar intersperses the narrative with both English words and Darug words. Jasmine Seymour is the author. It was illustrated by Leanne Mulgo-Watson. They are both Darug women, and huge congratulations to them for their win. It's such a terrific book. When this interview first came out, I had sat down and read Kui Mitigar with my nephew. He was about 3.5 at the time, and he and I really enjoyed looking at the incredible illustrations and practicing saying the Darug words together. He's a little bit older now, but this is still an incredible book, and it comes out from Mugabulla Books. So if you are looking at educating yourself more on Indigenous cultures and First Nation cultures and learning a little bit more about the land that you live on, and as we said before, it is stolen land. The traditional inhabitants of this land are still vibrant cultures all across. This is not one country. So I'm really looking forward to resharing Kui Mitigar today and maybe kickstarting your 2021 reading year by reading along with some younger readers. So this is whether it's your own kids or your grandkids or your nephews and your nieces, your friends' kids, if you're hanging out with people. I mean, I know we're still socially distancing, but even if you're getting over Zoom, finding ways to share books brings us together. I've loved sharing books with everyone every week, but we can do this in so much more a personal level. And that's what the show is going to be all about. That's what today is about. Without further ado, after this short break, we're going to come back with Kui Mitigar from Jasmine Seymour and Leanne Mulgo-Watson.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
You are on 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel, and this is Final Draft. I have got an absolutely fantastic book to introduce today. I'm really excited about this. I feel like I want you listeners out there to want to take this book home. It is called Kui Mitigar, A Story on Darug Songlines. It's a wonderful book for earlier and younger readers that's told in both Darug and English. Kui Mitigar is written by Jasmine Seymour and the artist is Leanne Mulgo-Watson. And I'm so happy to introduce Jasmine Seymour. Jasmine's a Darug woman. She's an educator, an author and an illustrator. Warami Jasmine, welcome to Final Draft.
Warami Mitigar. Hello, friend. Thank you for having me.
Kui Mitigar is such a wonderful book. And I read it. I had the chance to read it with my nephew recently. And you know, after we were practicing all these Darug words together, I've decided that I need to share this experience with as many readers, old and young, as I can. I mean, and obviously I can't lend everyone my book, so I've got to tell them about it. I've got to get people out there buying it. Before we get, though, to the book, I wanted, if you could, to give us a bit of an introduction, because Darug Nuru was the site of invasion in 1788. It's been the site of frontier wars and massacres, but despite what I see now as deficiencies in my own education, perhaps the education of many of us who grew up in the 80s and the 90s, Darug culture and Darug language is still vital and strong in the Sydney region. Can you give us just a little bit of background to what Darug language and culture is before we get into the book?
Absolutely. I think because of colonisation and because a lot of the Darug mob are fairer skinned than other Indigenous peoples, a lot of people think that we don't perhaps exist. But our families have always been here and never left. Many of us married into the colonial sort of family. And we always knew that we were Aboriginal because we had Aboriginal family members who were very obviously Aboriginal. And so we've all grown up on country, some of us knowing and some of us not knowing. But as we have been getting prouder of our past, we are getting stronger and, you know, we're really celebrating our Aboriginal history, because I think out here in the Hawkesbury for a long, long time people were very, very interested in their colonial past and they were very proud of that, but you weren't allowed to be proud of your Aboriginal past because, you know, something terrible would have happened to you, like your kids would have been taken off you if you celebrated being Aboriginal, you know, back in those days, or you wouldn't have got a job, or you would have had some terrible thing imposed upon you because you are Aboriginal. But that has changed now, and we're all a lot freer to be able to discuss that. And it's so wonderful for the older members of our community because they very much, you know, lived that. And for us now to be able to celebrate that, it's just extraordinary.
And now, thanks to your wonderful book, you have this opportunity, we have this opportunity to share this with you. Kui Mitigar, it takes the reader on a journey guided by Mulgo, the Black Swan. And I really love this. And I hope perhaps you could describe how you've structured this journey and what was important for you in telling readers about this.
Well, when we started conceptualizing this book, we didn't have any Darug language picture books out in community or in schools, and we just really felt like we were just so desperate to have a Darug language book out there for people to read. And so I was looking at Leanne's gorgeous pictures that she was doing about the seasonal changes in Sydney. She was working on a Darug calendar. And while we were looking at that, the book slowly started to come together. And as I was sort of piecing it together, I was also part of the Real Secret River Project.
That, okay.
And we were investigating a lot of sites and places along the Jurubbin, the Hawkesbury River, and walking across, you know, this song line, the Sydney rock formations, the superhighway, where all these sites were. And the story just came to me. You know, this is the story of our place, of Aboriginal Sydney, and it's extraordinary, and it's all still there. And language opens that up.
I think it's really important. I want to second what you're saying there, because radio is not the perfect medium for sharing what is so amazing about Kooimidagar. But when I was reading, I noticed the story following the passage of seasons and Leanne Mulgo-Watson's illustrations. Like Will and I, as we read, we had so much fun discovering all of the elements that you describe and that you teach us in Darug language. And then I would ask Will, can you see this on the page? And sometimes they were hidden in constellations or magicked away in trees, and Will would search. And it was such a wonderful collaborative experience. I mean, there is so much in this book as an adult, and you know, a lot of adults need to have that excuse of a child in their lap to read it. But I say no, just read it yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a complicated concept, really. But through the picture book, you know, we feel like you're taken onto country and you read country. And that's the experience we really want people to get from it, that you're reading country, because that's what we do when we're out on country. We read it and country talks to us. And we really want that book, Kooimidagar, our book, to speak to you like that.
So I've been talking about this as a great book to share with family or friends or people that you've just met that you get along with. This is such a great book to share. But I was wondering, from a more formal perspective, where we're at as a country or even at a state level teaching Indigenous languages, and what you might hope to see from Kooimidagar and more structured teaching.
Well, I would really hope to see, all Indigenous languages incorporated into local school curriculum. So wherever you are at your school and whatever country you're on, that language should be taught. And sometimes language is still emerging. You know, we say that it is waking because it has been sleeping. And Darug language very much is waking up. And, you know, many people in our community are getting better and better at language, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it. And we also want it to be shared very freely. You know, we want this language to become normal. So many of the places around Sydney have Aboriginal names, and we'd love to see more of that, and schools really embracing, Darug culture, because this is one of the most wonderful things to celebrate. It's so rich for all people, you know. And Indigenous people have always been very giving in their knowledge and their acceptance of people onto their country. And sharing in language is another way that we can, you know, celebrate Aboriginal people.
That's something that I have always found astounding, is that, you know, despite centuries of invasion and violence, there is still such generosity in terms of sharing culture and sharing language and wanting that to be, I guess, if it's fair to say, like kind of a part of a shared history despite some of the horrors of the last 200 years. I was really interested. You got me really curious, though, about this idea of education and bilingual education in schools. My wife's an early childhood teacher, and I know that incorporating aspects of language into the curriculum as they, you know, teach it to the kids is so important to her. And I'm so happy she's got a copy of Kooimidagar to take to a school so she doesn't steal mine, and I can read it. I got a chance to read it again before I spoke to you. But in my research, I checked out the New South Wales Board of Education. It does have information, you know, sort of specific to the learning and teaching of Aboriginal languages in schools. I noticed it was a little dated at November 2016, but I was drawn to this juxtaposition of teaching goals that they put in this document, where they say learning an Aboriginal language strengthens Aboriginal students' identity and pride and cultural identity. But then for non-Aboriginal students, learning a local Aboriginal language provides an insight into and better understanding of the world's oldest living cultures. To my ears, the goals for non-Aboriginal students kind of sounded a little ancillary rather than fundamental to a child's educational experience. And I wondered if you had any thoughts there. Like, is there a more integrated approach that we could be taking for all students to learn and have this as a part of their life?
I would really hope so. I think it is starting to change because for a long time it has been very separate, and it's been for us and then for them. But I think that that mindset is changing, and you know, that enriches everyone. You know, it really, really does. It doesn't leave anyone out, and the more people that get to experience and speak language like that, it's true, the better understanding they have, and it really does enrich your life, and it enriches your experience of living on country. And it also kind of normalises the whole, you know, us, well, not us and them, but, you know, we're all in it together, you know, and it, and that is very much something that Aboriginal people want. We don't want it to be us and them. We never have.
I just think also there is, I mean, you hate to get too mercenary about it, but there's also a wealth of research and knowledge generating around the benefits of bilingual language learning for a child's neuro-linguistic development, executive functioning. You know, Australia is essentially, there is so much language diversity, but from a dominant culture perspective, it is essentially a monolingual culture, which means, you know, I am at a disadvantage being dominant culture because I learnt one language. And I wish so much this conversation was being had, you know, 40 odd years ago, so that when I started, you know, when I was born and growing up, I had these opportunities. But it's, I think it's so great that we can provide them for our children.
Well, I think, you know, learning another language is just incredible in the sense that, so, you know, the English word for heart, example, just means heart to us, you know. But the Darug word for heart is butbut. And that's, you know, that onomatopoeia, the sound of the heartbeat, butbut. And, you know, that extra layer of meaning to that word really enhances your knowledge about that concept, the heart, what it does. And, you know, and the more words you learn like that, and the better for you, for your understanding of the world. So it really is incredible. And, yeah, I would really encourage everyone to become bilingual.
All right. What a great segue there, Jasmine. The time has come. I've tried my best to incorporate some Darug in my interview with you, but older ears always need more practice with languages. But I've got to ask, what are some essential Darug Dalang that you would like to share, and you would like maybe some of the listeners to learn? Are there some particular words that you could perhaps share with us right now?
Well, I think a good one for this afternoon is Bujuri Gumara. Good afternoon, Bujuri Gumara.
Bujuri Gumara.
Yeah, Bujuri Gumara. Yanu is goodbye.
Yanu. Well, I'm not going to say, not yet, Jasmine. Give me another couple of minutes and I will say Yanu.
Yanu is goodbye. What's another great word? The Nura means country.
Nura.
Yeah, Nura means country. Birong is stars.
Birong is stars, yeah, okay.
Yep. The word for white cockatoo is Kirui.
Kirui.
Yeah,
I remember reading that, I think, in the book, and Will and I got a chance to talk about some that we had seen that day. So that's one to definitely, you know, you take out into the world with you.
Yeah, of course. And the word kooey, of course, which is sounds more like gooey. But that of course, means come here. And that's, you know, an ancient, ancient word that has been welcoming people to Darug country for many, many, many generations and many thousands of years. Wombat is a Darug word.
I saw some of these words that I just thought, I hear them, and we've incorporated them into our English usage, but it was so wonderful to discover that about them.
Yes, I know. And they say that there is more Darug language in Australian English than any other language, because at the beginning it sort of melded together a little bit, and many of our words got embraced by everyone. So that's very interesting, isn't it?
I don't think there is any particular time of the year that is better or worse for buying books. But Jasmine, you might agree with me that this is a time where people's thoughts turn to buying things and gifts. So I'm going to say it again. Kooey Mitigar is just this incredible book to share with everyone in your life. So if you've got little people or if you are a little person, this would be a fantastic gift for this sort of end of the year time. Jasmine, thank you so much for taking the time to share a little bit about the book.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for loving our book. And we love it very much, and we're so excited to have it out in the world.
Before I say Yanu, I wanted to ask one more. Is there a Darug word for thank you that I can share with you?
It is... I'm getting a blank.
I've put you on the spot. Okay, well, I can edit this. That's okay. We can edit that bit.
It is... of course, didgerigore.
Didgerigore?
Yep.
Didgerigore, Jasmine, I have appreciated so much your time sharing Kooimidiga. I hope so many other people get the chance to discover it. And we have a new generation to look forward to who will be speaking even more Darug in Sydney and across Australia. Yanu, Jasmine, didgerigore.
Didgerigore, Yanu. Thank you. Bye.
Stories. Ideas. Music. 2SER 107.3.
Yes, you are on 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and my name is Andrew Popel. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for helping me kick off 2021 in the right way. Final Draft is having a little bit of a summer break from new books, new ideas, new stories, and we're revisiting some favourites. Now, for the last 3 weeks, we have actually been looking at some stellar releases that really were outstanding and were winners at the 2020 Prime Minister's Literary Awards. There are so many great releases over the last 12, 18 months. If you want to find out a little bit more about them, can I suggest checking out the Final Draft Great Conversations podcast? Every week, I sit down with authors and people from the literary community in Australia, and we have these incredible wide-ranging conversations. Now, Final Draft is, of course, only a half-hour show. I don't always have enough time to feature everything we say. Now, you can... You know, you can tune in on the Saturday morning, 10 a.m. You can tune in on Wednesday night, 6:30, or at your leisure, on your device, wherever you are. You can tune in and catch the full conversation. That's available to you anytime, absolutely free. Just go to wherever you get your pods. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, but we're also on iHeartRadio, we're on Pocket Cast, we're on whatever you're getting your podcast. Search for Final Draft Great Conversations. You can check out all of our favorite reads for the last, there's 100 plus different conversations there you can check out. That is, you will find Kooimidiga, who we featured on the show today. I want to shout out again, huge thanks. Huge thanks for the conversation, which goes back to the end of 2019, to Jasmine Seymour. Jasmine came on the show. Also, huge thanks to Leanne Mulgo-Watson. Congratulations to them both for the incredible work that they've done and for their win. If you want to find out more, incredible books like Kooimidiga, you can go to Mugabulla Books. It's mugabulla.com. They are the oldest publisher of Indigenous and First Nations writers in Australia. They're the leading Indigenous publisher. They are absolutely fantastic. I always get excited when I get a package from Mugabulla Books. It is a great place to discover, to educate, to entertain yourself with these incredible stories. Now, before I say goodbye, I've got another minute or two. If you'll indulge me, I wanted to remind you that coming up in just 2 weeks' time, Sydney Writers Festival is back with us in a sort of a little mini way as part of the Sydney Festival, which hits Sydney every January. On the 16th and the 17th of January, you can join Sydney Writers Festival for Something to Talk About. 4 events showcasing the best of public discourse, imaginings, arguments, polemics, poetry, declarations and conversations, featuring the likes of, I think we've got, is that Norman Swan there? Tony Birch is going to be there. Behrouz Bouchani and Tara June Winch in conversation as part of the podcast program. There's so much great stuff. You can go to swf.org.au to find out a little bit more about that. And get ready for another incredible year of reading. I am So excited for the discourse, so excited for the narratives, so excited for where this year in reading takes us. I know it's going to be challenging, it always is, because there is so much about our country to love, but so much also that we need to be aware of, that we need to work on, that we need to be constantly engaging with. It is almost time for me to go. My name is Andrew Popel. The show you've been listening to is Final Draft. I'm going to get reading. I'm going to bring you some new stuff very, very soon. Before I do go, though, I'm going to leave you with a track. Last year was all about Australian artists for us, and I don't think 2021 is going to be any different because it is so important to support the artists that you love. This is from Swimwear. It is, I forgot his name there. It's from Tim Derricourt, who is part of Dappled Cities. And the song is Funny Bone. I'm Andrew Popel. I'll see you next week for more books. Till then, happy reading. Bye now.
Did you know 2SER relies on donations and supporters to air your favourite programs? You can contribute too. Head to 2ser.com/support and choose between making a donation or clicking the supporter button. Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.